Okay, I'm going to take us a few moments just to share a little bit from God's words, from the Bible. Something we do every Sunday. We've been working our way through Luke's gospel, and we're going to come to Luke's account of the resurrection this morning. One of the fascinating things for me, when you read the four gospels, and I did this a little bit in preparation for today, but if you read Matthew's account and Mark's account and Luke's account and John's account of the resurrection, they all have slightly different aspects to it, slightly different elements to it. And that is partly because they were writing for a particular audience or a particular group. A little bit of a homework for you if you want. If you've got time today, 20 minutes, make yourself a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, sit down and read through the four accounts. Matthew's account has got 10 verses, Mark's has got 8 verses, Luke's got 12 verses, and John's got 10 verses. It's not going to take you very long. Just read the four stories alongside each other and just compare and contrast them. See what is the same and see what is different. See what where the kind of perhaps the bits that don't quite line up are for you, and ask questions, find out why that is, trying to dig a bit deeper. We're going to continue, as I said, with Luke, and we're going to read Luke's account, which is the longest of the lot, but still only 12 verses, so it's not going to take very long. Okay, so Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through to 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. As I read that account again, one word jumped out at me. It's the word remember. We find it in verse 6, and we find it again in verse 8. And I hadn't necessarily clocked it in the same way before. Remember is a word we tend to associate with Maundy Thursday when we take the bread and wine, because Jesus deliberately said, when you do this, remember me, remember that I died for you. Whenever you eat the bread and drink the cup, you're recognizing that. So remember it. Baptism, again, is a symbol. It's a reminder to us of what happened. But have we ever thought about Easter Day being a remembrance day, a day to remember? But that is what these angels said to the women. Remember. Two things. First of all, remember the story. Remember how he told you in verse 6. And then in verse 8, then they remembered his words. The word remember here in the Greek doesn't just mean remember and recall to mind. It actually carries a sense of understanding with it, revelation. So as the angels are saying to the women, remember, they're not just saying to the women, just cast your mind back and think about what he said. He's thinking about remember that, but also remember how that impacts you. Think about how that impacts your life. I'm pretty sure that if we go around the world and you ask people what Easter Sunday means, what the resurrection is all about, people will kind of know the story or know something about it. It was something to do with Jesus and he died and came back to life. That's kind of as much as it goes. There's a general understanding that that's kind of linked in some way to Easter. People can remember that, and many of us here can remember the story. But have we got that understanding that comes with it? Okay, so what does that actually mean for me? The angels were telling the women not just to recall the time they spent with Jesus, walking on the road, listening to his stories, watching what he did, but recall to mind how he challenged you. Call to mind what he said to you, how he made you feel valued and loved. Remember. recognize that he loves you. Recognize that you're precious to him. But they go and tell the disciples, you notice that? And the disciples, they're kind of there, and the disciples didn't believe them. And I think something of in Luke's account is a little bit of a subtle dig at the disciples to go, yeah, they didn't believe the women. Because that's what happened in society in that day. The women didn't have a voice. The women weren't allowed to speak in court because their voice didn't matter. They had no rights. And the church, the disciples, are doing exactly the same. And Luke points that out. You know, different to anyone else, folks. Because just because the women have said it doesn't mean to say it's not true. I wonder if you've been following the Lent devotional we've been doing called One. Some of you have been reading that. Some of you may have been following that through. And finished today, obviously, because it is the end of the story. But yesterday's was really powerful, I felt. How did the disciples get through Easter Saturday? That bit between the Good Friday account, the death of Jesus, the burial of Jesus, and then the Easter Sunday, where they had all their doubts and their fears. How did they get through that? They got through it together. They were together on that Sabbath. And for us as Christians, it's so important that we recognize the same value. We do it together. How do we make sense of the events of resurrection this first Easter and its impact upon our lives? Well, we do it together. We do it by talking to one another. We do it by figuring it out together, asking the questions. How do we connect the story of Jesus in the Bible with our lives and our lived experiences? Well, we do it by talking and sharing it together, leaning on one another, asking one another to help us to process, to grow together. Easter reminds us that we need to meet together to recall not just the stories, but to recall actually what it means for me. What does this mean for me? One of the other things we've been doing, and we noticed throughout Luke, is his golden thread. There's this message that starts at Luke chapter 1 and runs all the way through. It's why Luke wrote his Bible, his gospel account. It's why he wrote it. And some of you know that I've banged on about this since last November. Some of you have finally clocked it. For those of you who haven't yet, the golden thread is this. Jesus Christ came into this world to save everybody. That's the message of Luke. And that message of Luke is here still in this account. I can imagine Luke sitting down, and we know from the accounts of the gospel that Luke wrote that he probably spent a bit of time talking to Mary, Jesus' mother, because obviously he had the account of what happened to her right back in Genesis, in Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2, the birth narratives. And I can imagine Luke sitting there with Mary, and Mary is talking about Jesus' life, and he gets this bit about the resurrection, and his eyes light up, because here again we have this golden thread. Did you notice the characters that are in this account? There aren't many of them. There's two angels, and then there's the women, and then Peter a little bit later. Jesus is only alluded to in the third person in this narrative. We only find out meet the risen Jesus in Luke's account in the bit that follows on, which we're going to be doing next Sunday, which is on the road to Emmaus when Jesus appears to his disciples. But in this particular narrative, the focus is on the women. The women took their spices they prepared early in the morning. They went. The ones who were excluded by society, the ones who weren't given a voice by society, the ones who weren't allowed to enter into the worship, had to sit to one side in the worship experience of the church at the time. These were the focus. This was the people, the first people to have this encounter with the empty tomb. These were the people that Jesus, God, entrusted this message to, knowing that even society would not listen to them. Disciples wouldn't listen to them. But he gave this message, this precious message, to these women. And Luke uses that to remind us that nobody is beyond this message. This is for everybody. We might feel at times that we're on the edge. We might feel at times that we haven't got a voice. We might feel at times that we don't fit. We might feel at times that, what have I got to offer? This is for us, to remind us that this first resurrection story that we still live in today, it is for us. Jesus' invitation is there for everybody. And he then goes on to say, it was Mary Magdalene. We know from Luke's account, Mary Magdalene was a lady that was caught in adultery. Possessed. She was a to want to use the expression, she was a wrong'un. She didn't have anything going for her in that sense, in terms of society. And yet, she was one of the first people to meet Jesus. Joanna, Mary, the mother of James. Now, that could be Mary, the mother of Jesus, because Jesus' brother was also called James. So that could well be Mary, Jesus' mother, who was a widow. Widows in that society didn't have any standing, any place in society. These are the very people who were given this and entrusted with this message. And the two angels appear, and they say to these women, don't you remember? The Son of Man must die and was raised again. They affirm who Jesus is. This golden thread is here for us. They're affirming that Jesus is the Son of God. But also, this message is for everybody. Now, I've preached on the resurrection story for 30 years. Every year it comes around on Easter Sunday. And I could go and stand up here for a lot longer and talk about this, but I don't want to do that today, because I just want to ask you to do this. Just remember the story. But don't remember in terms of just remind yourself about what it says. Have that moment of going, okay, say, okay, what does it mean for me? We've heard and we've seen what it meant for Ella and Lex. It's new life, a new beginning, a new start. They've talked about peace. They've talked about just knowing that God's there for them. They've talked about the fear they had going. They've talked about just the encounter with God has changed their lives. For these women, it changed their lives. What does it mean for you? What does it mean for you that Jesus came back to life? Now, you can go through the history books. You can kind of study that. There's lots of material out there that you can do some digging to find out. It's a true story. It's not a made-up story. It's truth. And as the truth, it demands a response. Because you don't just come back to life. It just doesn't happen. Jesus was who he said he was. Jesus did come back to life. And just like with these early disciples, just like with these women on that first Easter Sunday morning, Jesus wants you to have an encounter that will change your life forever. Not just on this earth, but for eternity. That's been Lex and Ella's story. We've heard that, we've witnessed that, we've seen that. It can be your story too. Remember. Don't just remember, but think about what it means for you. And remember this golden thread that Jesus Christ came so that you could know. Doesn't matter how the world makes you feel. Doesn't matter how you are made to feel. Doesn't matter what the world says about you. Jesus Christ came for you. He came for everybody. And this offer is there for you too. We have a whole bunch of resources out there as you go, this little DVD called The Cross. There's more out there. There's three different stories on these little DVDs. You pop them in, 20 minutes long. It just tells you. It's, again, different people telling their stories about how they have found Jesus to be real for them. And it just explains that in a nice, helpful way. So help yourself to any of that. There's some other literature out there as well for you to take. If you want to ask any questions, please have a word. We'd love to have the opportunity to do that over tea and coffee. But as you go into into the rest of this day and into this week, just try and find some time. Ask yourself, if it's true, what does it mean for me? It can't just be true for Ella and for Lex and for nobody else. If it's true, it's true. And if it's true, what does it mean for you? Let's pray.